This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This game was incredible.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Kelce ties Priest Holmes.
Earlier on the show, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth, ESPN MLB columnist Buster Olney. Coming up, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, Paul Feinbaum. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Buster Olney just left our studio. He's going back to Dodger Stadium, where I believe he set up a residency, just like Adele in Las Vegas, right?
I thought he was going to take a nap.
I mean,
that man needs a nap.
He autographed his scorecard from last night's game,
yeah,
which
awesome.
Literally looks like it was found in the ancient pyramids of Egypt. It's unbelievable. It was a great chat with him, and we also had a great hour one chat with Mark Schlereth of Fox Sports. But let's get to our next guest right now, because he's on the air for his own show at the top of the hour on every day from 3 to 7 Eastern time. Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show, kind enough to come back here sitting on his set. Good to see you, Paul. How are you, sir?
Rich, doing great. Thank you.
I'm pleased to have you here. I really just want to pick your brain on what happened with Brian Kelly at LSU. And I give you the floor on filling in why he got bounced this past weekend.
Ultimately, he failed to meet expectations. Have you ever heard that in a firing?
Yes.
But mostly, he not only lost his locker room, but he lost the entire fan base. And it went so quickly and so dramatically. I mean, they were actually ahead in that game in the second quarter. The third and fourth quarters were against Texas A&M, the number 3 team in the country, were a complete and total disaster. And when the fans start cheering, fire Kelly in the fourth quarter instead of cheering for your team, I think a lot of people took note. Namely, the governor of Louisiana. Now, Rich, don't be shocked when I tell you the politics and football mix pretty widely in the South. The governor put out a tweet after the game saying, I don't know why the Board of Trustees decided to raise ticket prices after watching this game. Mm. And that set off a snowball that ended up with Kelly being fired. They're still negotiating his $54 million buyout.
Well, can you explain to folks why buyouts for him, James Franklin, others that I'm sure we're not talking about because the coaches aren't in danger of being fired or threatening to leave. Why are buyouts so massively, absurdly large?
It's easy to answer. There's the three biggest buyouts in history were Jimbo Fisher at $76 million, Texas A&M, Franklin, and Brian Kelly. I'm not trying to turn this into a Final Jeopardy question, but who is Jimmy Sexton is the answer to the question, the agent of all three. Jimmy Sexton is this agent that started his business with one client, Reggie White. When he was a manager at the University of Tennessee in the 80s, he moved to Memphis and developed as close to a monopoly, not only pro football coaches, but college coaches, assistant coaches. And these ADs just get taken every time he walks into their office with another client. And right now he also represents Lane Kiffin. So he's negotiating with Ole Miss about a new extension for Kiffin, even though he just got one, while he shops Kiffin around at Florida and LSU and literally any other school that has an opening.
So let me just take that and put a pin in what you just mentioned about Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, Paul Feinbaum, here on the Rich Eisen Show. An agent is obviously as talented as Jimmy Sexton is one thing, but you have to have a willing partner to say, absolutely, let's put that figure in a contract. Why do programs agree to that? Paul?
Well, because you have athletic directors who are good stewards of their program. They go to the volleyball games, they go to the basketball games, but they're no match for a guy who is employed by CAA, one of the biggest talent agencies in the world, and who is basically saying, if you don't sign my guy to this deal, I'm taking him somewhere else. And that AD who looks down at his phone every 5 seconds to make sure what people are saying about him on social media says, okay, I can get that done. Just like a week ago, Rich, in the Big Ten, you saw Kurt Cignetti get this $94 million deal. Now, most reasonable people think, okay, he's done an amazing job. But 3 or 4 years from now, just for the sake of argument, if things don't go well at Indiana, they're going to have to buy him out. But at the moment that these coaches get the deals, everybody is in favor of it. So they agree to ridiculous buyouts. And then where you get the buyouts to even go up higher is when you get the extension, when your guy may be going to Penn State or, in this case, LSU, and the agent, who is always Jimmy Sexton, walks in. And let me correct myself. I actually included Kelly as a Jimmy Sexton client. He is not. Mm-hmm. He's actually a Trace Armstrong client. So I know I misspoke there. But the reason why I bring up Sexton is that Sexton started this chain of events with Jimbo Fisher. So I'm glad I could, before Jimmy Sexton and Trace Armstrong start calling you and saying I misrepresented them.
No, I know Trace. Trey used to be my agent when I was with CAA back in the day. I love Trace. He's one of the smartest guys in the business, to say the least. And I think he represents what feels to me whenever I'm around him, everyone else in college football and also professional football at the coaching level. So, but back to Lane Kiffin now. Why would he leave Ole Miss, right? Or why, if you can build, for instance, a program like Cignetti in Indiana, and you can be one of the 12 to get into a college football playoff from there, and you can be one of the 12 to get into a college football playoff from Ole Miss, isn't that all you need, Paul, is to get to a spot where you can get into the college football playoff and be competitive enough to get the kids either via portal or the old-fashioned way by sitting in a living room and saying you should come to my school, Paul?
Exactly. I don't mean to go back to what I just said a minute ago, but sure. The mistake I made was that Scott Woodward, the athletic director, Rich, at LSU, who fired Kelly, was also the athletic director who hired Jimbo Fisher.
Yes.
So see, a little confusing here with all the buyouts.
He's Mr. Buyout, right? Like he's he's setting records. But now to the matter at hand here, right? It's just like things have changed in a way.
They have. Lane Kiffin's team is capable of winning the national championship at Ole Miss, but there's something about this allure of other schools for Lane Kiffin. You know him well. He was the youngest head coach ever for Al Davis with the Raiders. He's already been the head coach at Southern Cal, where he was fired on the tarmac 12 years ago. And he just, while he has turned down a number of jobs to stay in Oxford, which is one of the greatest college towns of all time, Rich. I mean, there's nothing quite like going to a football game at the Grove, where the white tablecloths and the china is more expensive than the buyout sometimes of the coach at the school. But I just sense that he looks at LSU, he looks at Florida, another opening, and he's just a kid again, and he wants to try something new. So that's why I think most of us look at Lane as somebody who could be a wanderer and could take one of those two jobs.
Do you think, Paul Finebaum, it behooves any of these athletic directors to shoot their shot and call Nick Saban at all, or that's just really fodder for stuff like us to talk about, Paul?
It's actually a very legitimate question for this reason. Nick Saban was the coach at LSU. He won the national championship there in 2003. And Saban left in 05 to go to the Dolphins. Wayne Huizenga offered him this deal. And in many ways, he always regretted it. While Alabama was where he made his mark, it was only 6 national championships.
Yes.
There was this gravitational pull about Baton Rouge. His family loved it. And it probably is the only place that could get a conversation with Nick Saban. So let's go ahead and finish this. What would it take to get Nick Saban to leave the game day set, sitting next to McAfee every Saturday, to go to LSU? It would take more than he made at Alabama, which was about $10 or $11 million. But if they came up with a package, Rich, I think you could literally fill in the number. Do I think Saban would think about it for a minute? Yes, I do. There's a lot of risk involved. His name is on the field at Alabama. He's already the greatest coach in college football history. And he did that at a school that previously had the greatest coach in college football history in Bear Bryant. But he's also a competitor. How many times have you seen this in the NFL where some guy, we just saw it in college where Bill Belichick came back. Other coaches have come back out of retirement. Bud Wilkinson in the 70s, I think, was the great Oklahoma coach. He went to coach for the St. Louis Cardinals. It ended badly, as most of these comebacks do. Bill Walsh came back. I think Nick Saban, for an unbelievable amount of money, where he said, I just can't turn that down, could possibly, at least engage in a conversation. And can I ask you to guess the trivia question of the day? Who do you think is Nick Saban's agent? The answer is Jimmy Sexton.
All right. Lots of connective tissue. I know about the Saban regretting LSU, and I read about it. I hear about it. I see the posts about it. I look at that and I'm like, he regrets leaving LSU, but I think he regrets that he left him for the Dolphins. You know, like he regrets going to the Dolphins maybe more than leaving LSU, where, you know, there was a choice between Dante Culpepper and Breeze, and he chose the Culpepper door. You know what I mean? Like, that's the regret if I had to choose any of them.
Yeah, and Saban's always blamed that on the sports medicine people who claim that, you know, Breeze wasn't going to qualify. But those stories don't matter anymore. But
right.
I don't think Nick Saban would take it. Nick Saban wouldn't talk to Penn State. He wouldn't talk to Florida. But I think he would talk to LSU, at least to see what they have to offer. And by the way, sometimes you can come back and make an offer that even a man who will be 74 years old on Friday night, on Halloween, might consider. I think it's worth thinking about. And I'm already hearing on our show down here in the South, Alabama fans saying, please tell me it's not true. Don't tell me that Nick Saban's going to LSU.
I'm already hearing from the Ohio State fans saying the same thing about Urban maybe showing up in Penn State. You know, like I'm already hearing stuff like that. Oh, but what do you think in a few minutes I have left with Paul Finebaum of the Paul Finebaum Show here on the Rich Eisen Show? What do you think about Brian Kelly's future? One of my favorite posts was somebody putting Kelly's face over a surfer dude saying this is what Kelly would sound like if he went to UCLA. You know, like that was one of my favorite posts I've seen over the last couple of days. But what do you think is his future? Because do you just plug him in one of these other spots, or the buyout conversations going on right now might preclude that? Paul.
Yeah, so Rich, when you get fired, usually at your big name, which he is, you have two choices. You take another job, probably a lesser job, or you go into television. Now, you tell me. You've been in television a long time. Can you see Brian Kelly in television? I can't. I think it would be a bad mix. So I think now that he's going to get that buyout, he would probably consider another job. And I say this, I know Brian Kelly very well. Until this week, he did our show every Monday. It was a regular gig. He's a smart guy. He's analytical. He just went to the wrong place, and he went there after when he was at Notre Dame. He said, "I'm leaving Notre Dame to go to Baton Rouge to win a national championship." He never got close, and Notre Dame came very close last year.
Yeah. So I guess to finish up, what do you think is the most attractive gig? Is it LSU? And if so, then what do you think is second best, Paul?
Yeah, I think right now with the openings, and there'll be more this weekend, I can promise you that.
I think so, huh?
It's LSU. The history there, the tradition. I mean, three coaches in a row won national championships. Saban, Les Miles, and Ed Ogeron. The last two I mentioned are not going to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So you can win there. Florida is a sleeping giant. They've had two great coaches, Spurrier and Urban Meyer, and the last four coaches have been fired there. So the expectations there are not nearly as high as Baton Rouge. I think it's LSU, Florida, and Penn State right now in that order.
Paul, thanks for the time. Have a great show, and we'll do this again shortly, if you don't mind.
My bad. All the best. Thank you, Rich. Enjoyed it.
Now I owe you the back end of the home and home. Okay.
Thank you.
Anytime, Paul. Thanks again. That's Paul Finebaum, everybody. Check him out on the Paul Feinbaum Show on the Disley family of networks and radio as well. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Listen, you know what I said about Nick Saban? The guy wins every weekend. He is out of the coaching mix. He is out of the NIL mix. He is out of the portal mix. He is out going to high school gyms and beating the bushes. Remember that? He was showing up to basketball courts and basketball arenas to talk to kids who play both sports, to say, come to Alabama, you know? And then he was starting to talk about how the world was changing. And remember Jimbo Fisher, whose name is now still mentioned whenever a massive buyout is talked about, because his is bigger than everyone else's. Remember he was talking about how Jimbo was buying players and was apologizing for it? Because Jimbo went nuts at the SEC media day. And I think that was the year in which he wound up putting the Christmas tree on his front lawn after he got bounced. He's out of that mix. And he's not out of the mix of college football, though. He gets to go to all of these campuses, check out the pageantry, enjoy the love from all of these 18 to 21, 22-year-olds that show up to get the shot of winning win Pat's money, you know, and
yeah, once a coach, always a coach.
I know that. I've been around Mariucci, who whenever I'm around him, it's been a while since I've been around him at a stadium. He would put his hands on his knees, standing on the sideline, go up to the refs and chit chat. Once a coach, always a coach. But if you can get that fix by going to the stadiums and going to the games and winning every week on a red hot television show, that's enough. Unless LSU calls him up and says, have we got a package for you?
I don't think it'll happen.
Interesting. I don't know either. I don't know the man.
Gotta try.
I can only assume he's 74. He's been there. He's done that. What's he going to do? You know, he's already won the title there. It's not like he goes back to try and win something he didn't do there. Like the spot for him to go for that, if he really wants to go back to school and do something that he didn't do at the school, it would be Michigan State. Well, I don't think that's what he's going to do. The job's not open at present, but he wins every weekend. He is undefeated showing up on college game day.
In your eyes. Maybe he doesn't win every weekend in his own eyes.
Well, back on October 24th, he was on Pat's show and he said, quote, I want to stay retired. I'm not interested.
That is, please, someone make me an offer.
You know what? And everyone says that too, right? I mean, I didn't even ask Paul about Sark, you know, maybe the next time, because I don't think that story is going away.
Doesn't seem
everybody
like
thinks Steve Sarkisian saying, you know, hey, I understand you all have a job to do. Whenever a coach or looks at the media and says, you guys, you all, but I respect what you do. That's with all due respect. He doesn't say with all due respect, you guys stink. He calls y'all, you guys, or you folks. Yeah. Paint everybody in the media with this broad brush that we're all trolling for clicks. Every last one of us. That's another way of saying with all due respect before saying something completely disrespectful. Yeah. Or in the case of a coach, track covering. Right? I mean, when the Penn State job opened and Matt Rhule showed up, I believe, on Pat's show wearing all the Nebraska stuff and talking about how he loves the job that he's got. And all I'm thinking about is my team right now. You always hear right now. You hear that stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're like, oh, okay. You hear the magic words right now, because we're all ready for the dotted line if the money's right. So, yeah, you offer Nick Saban more money than he would expect for a coaching gig. Maybe he starts reconsidering this. I don't see it. Because, again, it's not like he doesn't get the fix of going to college football games or the campuses and being and taking in that good stuff and all the other stuff. Leave that to DeBoer. Leave that. Like, I win every week. You know, I don't know. I haven't spoken to College Game Day people. I don't know if Miss Terry is there every week. If they're maybe enjoying that part of their, you know, years and dotage and whatever, then why the hell would he want to say, oh, I'll go back into this LSU mosh pit, raise my blood pressure, go back into this world that has totally changed? He has the right agent for it, apparently. 844-204-RIDGE, number to dial. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, and your phone calls when we come back.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's dive into that. Because again, Jason Bateman was with Sean Hayes last night. Fox TV cameras showed him. Yep. He's a diehard Dodger fan. And I'm just wondering, like, did Sean Hayes get the invite over Will Arnett? Because there's just two seats. Because Will Arnett is a Blue Jay fan. And I'm like, so it's Yankees Red Sox, Chris. You have the two seats.
I'm not inviting you.
Of course, and I wouldn't expect you to.
Yeah.
Why would you want to invite somebody to your seat, your plus one, to a playoff game for your team to root against your team that you're there to root for? Why would you do that?
That's absurd.
Why would you do that?
I'm going to tell you this. If my friend had a seat to a World Series game or a Super Bowl or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess Super Bowl's different, right? Because it's not your stadium.
Yes.
But like, yeah, if the Bears if the Bears and the Cowboys are playing at Soldier Field or whatever the new stadium is to go to.
You would expect Ashton to invite you?
Oh, yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
And he would.
He would?
What? Yes, Rich.
There's no one in his life that would have similar rooting interests as he does for this game that he could invite. You'd expect the invitation for you to go root for the Cowboys against the Bears in Soldier Field for a do or die playoff game. The Bears haven't done a damn thing since Jay Cutler was on a bike,
mm-hmm.
you know, before he started strolling down Rodeo Drive after his knee injury.
He would absolutely take me.
But this man once rooted for, Caleb Haney in a playoff game. That's the last time he took that
tape. Are you
going to
be really caped up, mask, everything, Cowboys?
You know how long me and this... You know this man, our friendship started with him sitting next to me at a booth at a bar with a Bears hat, and I go, Walter Payton, second best running back ever, huh? And he's like, what are you talking about?
That is so not even in the same realm as...
It's like a championship game.
What I'm saying is, yes, we live together. I know his rooting interests. He knows mine. He just texted me 5 minutes ago. I could call him back and ask him.
You need to get him on the horn or text him or whatever. If the Bears played the Cowboys in Soldier Field and you had two tickets to the game, would you take me as your plus one?
All right.
No way. I would never expect you to invite me to a Yankee Red Sox playoff game.
No, and vice versa. I wouldn't expect it. Yeah, either.
Ever. Yankee Dodger World Series, if you took me on the mold remediation tickets, you know, I would never expect you to, you know what? You come to the game, nor would I maybe even want to go with you. And it's not because I don't want to spend time with you. I'm rooting against you.
Right. What if you put stipulations on it, too? Like, hey, I got an extra ticket. You can come, but you got to wear a Red Sox hat.
Okay. That's why I'm not going tonight.
What? Why?
My wife and her cousin are going.
My wife.
Yeah. They're Jays fans, and I was like, "You guys have fun. I'm good. I don't want to sit with you guys."
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I can't believe you'd expect to be the plus one.
I wouldn't expect it, but it would happen.
It would happen.
And he wouldn't put any, like, hey, you can't wear the cape or the mask or anything. Just, like, keep it chill.
He's not showing up like Nacho Libre, you know?
That's my man, bro. Like, that's my guy. What are we doing?
NFC Championship game, Soldier Field.
This guy.
Yeah.
No way. No way am I inviting you.
Well, not you, because you're not him. And that's not our friendship. Like,
damn.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this response.
I'd call him, but he's serving school lunches right now.
Okay.
So he can't answer.
Father of the year, Ashton Kutcher. Friend of the year.
I'm just saying.
Good Lord. Friend of the century. I would never
good for you guys.
Expect it. Weirdos. Well, I mean, weirdos.
Yeah, I want to go with a fellow rooting interest.
Of course. I guess maybe I don't blame you.
My friendships are different than your friendships, I guess.
I don't think you care as much about your teams as we do.
Yeah, right. Yes! Okay. Now we're drilling down to the nitty and the gritty.
Why are you doing that when you know that's not true?
Clearly it isn't. Because you'd want to sit there and just go, oh, okay.
Why would you want to sit with a Bears fan in enemy territory?
Do you know how many football games between the Bears and the Cowboys that he and I have sat next to each other on the couch?
I mean, at the game. With the stakes on the line.
You guys don't have good friends in your life. That's just clear to me.
Long car ride home.
I mean, you haven't seen a Cowboy NFC Championship game since you were dreaming of that job at Foot Locker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So what's your point?
It's now finally happening. You want to sit next to a Bears fan that could prevent you from going to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
No way.
No way.
You guys, like I said, I question your friendship.
Is it a Northeast thing? He's from the Northeast too.
He's from an East Coast state.
Whatever. Like I said, you guys need better friends in your life.
It's the westernmost part. The central to westernmost part.
It's a Northeast thing.
Is it? Because he's a Southern California guy right over here, and he won't even go with his wife tonight.
I don't want that car ride home.
Stuck in traffic?
That's bad enough just at the bar last night.
Yeah, win or lose, that's bad for you.
Jeez. I love this conversation. This may be one of my most favorite conversations ever.
I feel bad
ever.
For you guys is all I'm saying.
All right, let's everybody stay on hold. We're going to take some phone calls. It's Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
What's up, everybody? You guys good?
Hey, what's up, Chris?
Well rested?
TJ's all right.
A couple Chiefs ones, and then I got some other sports, okay?
Yeah.
Watching the game last night, had the two TVs going with the World Series and the football game. Chiefs dominated. Like you said, they're all the way back. And I think we kind of need to resign ourselves to the fact that when it's all said and done, the Chiefs are going to be the one seed in the AFC again.
Oh, I don't know, man. The Colts are pretty damn good.
Yeah, but if they played tomorrow, you'd pick the Chiefs to win. Like, they look like the best team in the NFL.
Yes, because I picked them to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but
I don't know about that.
But that was before you watched them play for the first month.
I don't know
month.
About
but I'm saying,
that.
Of late,
nothing changed.
They look like the best team.
India, I'm gonna have to put my choice in for a Week 12 NFL game day morning as to who's winning. The Colts or the Chiefs, and I might choose the Chiefs just because it is in Arrowhead. Yeah. But if this game's in Indianapolis, I don't know, man. Although Alex Smith did have a big lead in Indianapolis that one time before Andrew Luck had that massive comeback.
Yeah,
remember that when he reached the green, he slam dunked the ball across the goal line?
That was a great game.
Luck, man. He's so good.
I don't know. I'll call this an overreaction for the moment. The Colts look so damn good.
Yeah, but, Rich.
I know, yeah, but they're two in front of the Chiefs right now. Even if the Chiefs win that game, they'll still be a game behind the Colts.
That's fine, but when it comes to the playoffs and you got a guy
who... It's the one seed. That's not the question about who's making the Super Bowl. The question is who's the one seed in the American Football Conference?
True, okay.
And so I'll just call this an overreaction for the moment. Now, we're talking about Chiefs winning the Super Bowl.
They're the betting favorites. So
that would just show you that I was right going into the season, and so are you, TJ. See, we could sit at the Super Bowl together in that regard.
Yeah, but here's the difference. You wouldn't take me at, with your plus one. There's
why would you say that?
Because you wouldn't.
Jeez, this guy.
What? We've never gone to anything together. So why would you now say, all right.
Cowboys, Chiefs, you got to take them. Deal?
Of course I would.
There you go.
Yeah, but he says of course he would because that's not going to happen ever.
Well, I don't know
not
why
you taking would... me. The Cowboys going to the Super Bowl.
I'm willing to say right now, if the Cowboys make the Super Bowl, I will definitely make sure you're there.
Boom.
Yeah, look, he just bit his lip. You see him?
No, make sure you're there. I don't know if it's with me. I'll send you and Ashton.
Okay? I'll bet. Now, I'm going to hold you to that when, okay. when we go to the Super Bowl next year.
Just don't call Bert Kreischer's ticket guy.
For $150,000. Nice.
All right. So last year, you know, we're watching the game, watching the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce, you know, hey, probably should just retire, right? And go into the Hall of Fame with his brother.
You thought like,
that would be pretty awesome. I don't think I was alone in thinking that. And then you watch him early in the year. Yeah, I don't want to say the W word, but he looked a little slow, right? Last night, all the way back, best game of the season. Travis Kelce looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
And this year is not going to be his last.
I hope not.
In KC.
Oh, man, that would be awesome. That would be great.
There was no way he wasn't going to ball out on tight end weekend.
Oh, his tight end touchdown. Like, his TD prop was an absolute lock.
I figured
I caught Terry Rozier. I got the inside.
That was the easiest money right there, right? You knew he was. They were going to get him in the end zone.
Him and Kittle.
Well, this is the end of his contract, so he'd have to re-up.
Yeah,
see what's up with my people.
I would love it.
Right?
I would love it.
Really good last night.
I would love it.
That's something to think about.
You know, that would be great. And again, you know, I'm walking around Hyde Park. I listened to the entire Taylor Swift new album, and it's fantastic. So if he's in any way, shape, or form a muse, I think it would be a match made in heaven.
Well, one song in particular.
I heard about that, and I listened to that song, and... there were a lot of trees around.
I guess so.
In Hyde Park.
Also, I want to point out, you check out his haircut lately? He got the fade back.
Oh, he's got it all working.
Kelce fades back?
I'm pretty sure, unless working. I was looking at an old video, it looked new, and the fade's back. So that's old Killer Trav.
Yeah.
Killer Trav back.
I'm so happy for that guy, man. He's just truly one of my favorites.
Great dude.
So I hope this is right, and let's hope it's right. Look at you with a feel-good overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
He didn't mean it to be that.
I understand that.
I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. You know when somebody really aggressively pushes back on something
or like an idea about it,
it means you know what that means to me.
Touched a nerve.
It means that like there's probably some truth to it, and I think Steve Sarkisian is going to be coaching in the NFL next year.
Oh.
Wow. I know for sure. Let's put it this way.
We know there's going to be, what, five to eight openings. There always is.
I would say this. That if I am the owner of a team with a young quarterback, I would reach out to him and say, you want to be that guy.
That rhymes with warm marred.
I don't know what
Cam Ward.
Oh, that was.
Well, I mean, that was where.
I don't think that was accurate.
Yeah. So, like, I'm like, wait a minute, who's
Mark? The Bard, like, Shakespeare,
Wham Board,
Bam Card.
I mean, we could leave that stuff to me. That was the job that he's rumored to be interested in. But again, that organization is changing coaches, changing front off. Like I would need a lot of guarantees to leave Texas for that.
Well, here's the thing: this year, Texas, it hasn't gone as everyone kind of hoped and planned. All right.
Well, I mean, listen, would I as an owner have paused that Arch hasn't looked as great as he has, or just say he's bringing a kid along? Whatever, he is definitely somebody that I would call to be interested in. And when the number of times that somebody is so vehement and pushing back, it's like, okay,
Why being so aggressive?
But neither if he just said, "Oh, that's just a silly report." Oh, there's something there.
Yeah, it
was and like now he pushed back strong. Oh, there's something there. He can't win for losing on this front,
I guess.
So I'll call this an overreaction, but wouldn't be surprised. How does that sound?
It's only been a handful of it's been like a week of the NBA season, a handful of games for this guy. But
give me Wemby.
When he started the year, he was 12-1 for MVP.
Give me Wemby. All
and now
of the
he's 3-1.
Give me all
for
of
MVP.
The Wemby.
Oh, this is VJ Edgecombe.
I think.
Let's go.
Give me all of the Wemby.
He's doing good. Jaylen Brown also cutting his
give
hair live tonight on Twitch.
All of the Wemby. There isn't. I'm not even looking at the screen. I don't know what you're going to say, but there isn't something that would be on the screen that to me is an overreaction.
What if also, there has
nothing like what would it, unless it's like he's going to.
What if he's
going to
be in a limbo
go
contest?
To the moon, you know what I mean? Like but if it has anything to do with basketball, proper reaction, move on. I am so in on Victor Wembanyama right now. What is it?
We haven't had a quadruple double in the NBA since 1994.
Yes.
He's not only going to get one.
Yes.
He's going to get multiple this year.
Yes.
And win MVP.
Yes. Okay. Not an overreaction.
Question.
All of it. I want all of it.
Turnovers count?
No. I'm talking points, rebounds, assists, blocks.
Well, I'm just saying he handles the rock a lot.
All of it.
He gets
that's
10
true.
Turnovers.
Great. A quintuple double.
All of it. All of it. All of it. There isn't a single thing that you could have said to me that I'm like, that's a little much.
You see what this guy did with the spin move?
I did.
It was insane.
Like,
come
he dribbled
on, man.
Behind his back.
Yo, he was like hot sauce.
This is this isn't
fair. N1 mixtape.
He's feeling it.
This league is in trouble.
Remember when Ronnie 2K was here and he was like, yo.
Yeah.
You can't even design a player in our game like Wemby. He's going to break our game.
He is the video game.
Yeah.
Remember we started watching highlights of him when he was 16 and we were like, oh my goodness.
Give me a Wembanyama.
Look at his arm in that
reaction. Give me it's almost at the top of the backboard.
The box.
That's correct. That's correct.
I'm sorry. You know how we say certain cities aren't free agent destinations.
Give me
like
all of it.
Milwaukee, Cleveland. If I'm a free agent in the NBA, I am moving to San Antonio.
Well, I mean, De'Aaron Fox has got to be like, this is the greatest thing of all time. Are you kidding me? Steph Castle,
Harper,
all of them, they're 4-0.
Oh, they're so good.
Chris,
yeah, they're great.
Give it all to me.
Wemby.
Hopefully they're undefeated next week's overreaction money on a Tuesday. So you could start throwing out there. They're going to go undefeated for the first half of the season. Ooh. And I'd even agree to that.
73 wins.
Oh, yeah.
What if they go 80-2?
Oh. There's not a thing that you could say to me that I'm not at this point in time because I'm so head over heels all in.
There is one I said earlier. Like, could he win a limbo contest? But even so, he might be able to.
Maybe, you know. A couple of baseball to finish this up. Look, John Schneider, I'm with him, and he's true to his word. Otani should never see another pitch in this series.
Just every at bat, just put him on base?
Yeah.
The only pitches he sees are the ones he throws?
Exactly.
Understood. All right.
The pitch coming back from Will Smith.
I'll buy it.
After he threw it in.
I just want to see if he intentionally walked to start a game. The Dodgers, it's basically like the Dodgers get a ghost runner in the first inning.
Right.
The ghost runner's back, and it's on first, and its name's Ohtani to start the game. You get a ghost runner to start the game, Los Angeles.
You're saying like,
done.
I can't wait to see if we get that tonight.
Bottom of the first,
right.
Game starting.
Yeah,
he's coming out the dugout, and the umpire just goes.
Don't waste your time.
Before you even hear one note from Michael Bublé.
And I'm feeling.
He's on.
First. And I'm feeling.
That's it.
That's a mess. That's a mess of the pitcher's head.
No, don't go. No, that way.
Just, okay. That way.
All right, what's your last one? You got it. It's all right. Don't worry.
Oh.
All right. Oh, it's okay.
All right, we'll get one more.
Speaking of ghost runners, thank Rich, you. I was talking to an MLB source last night.
Oh,
you personally?
Jeez.
They were saying that last night's game, not a big fan of last night's game at the Major League Baseball,
put
the
ghost
Players
runners
Union.
On?
Playoffs, it's coming. MLB is going to add a ghost runner for playoffs after the 12th inning.
After the 12th inning?
For next year.
All right. All right, I'll buy it.
League office, not a fan of these long games.
I'm not either.
Why? What else they got to
well,
do?
Well, it's not that, though. I mean, honestly, we had a caller from Toronto being up till 3 in the morning. You know, you're going to start these games at 8 Eastern time, I say this to the kids all the time in the household, whenever we're watching a game, like, you are lucky to live on the left coast.
Yeah, man.
You are.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a Toronto Blue Jay fan. You're living in Toronto. You're like an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old. You want these memories for the rest of your life if you're Major League Baseball for those kids. And instead, they're asleep. Hey, what happened last night, Mom and Dad? Guess what? Good thing you went to bed, because Freddie Freeman's giving you nightmares.
Yeah, but an 8-year-old would be in bed anyway by the ninth inning, so...
Nah. I don't know. Not an overreaction, and I hate the Ghost Runner.
Me too.
Good stuff. That's Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
Back to wrap up the show. Your phone calls in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network.
Our
friends at Progressive are brought. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Also want to tell you about the Hyundai Hope on Wheels campaign. We love talking about it. I don't know if any of you folks knew out there that for the last 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research through the Hyundai Hope on Wheels campaign. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. At Hyundai, Hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Bernard in Dallas, Texas, been hanging on forever. What's up, Bernard?
Hey, Rich. Good talking to you. I had an idea of what baseball should do in order to prevent something like yesterday happening, because walking Ohtani is a crime. Ohtani should be able to, I love watching the guy. You know, I'm not a Dodgers fan, Rangers fan. I hated him against playing for the Angels against us.
Yep.
But I want to watch him. He's must-see TV. So my idea was, if a player gets walked a second time during a game, not intentionally walked, but walked, they should be able to take two bases. If they get walked a third time, they take three bases, and everybody else goes forward. And I think that will prevent intentional walking. It's going to what Buster Olney had said, you know, there's nothing baseball can do. Yes, there is. They can incentivize the pitchers to attack the strike zone and for the batters to be a little bit more cautious, and maybe walking becomes a good thing.
Now, I hear you, Bernard, but if a pitcher doesn't have the control, suddenly somebody hits a double because they've been walked a second time. I just don't think there's anything that can be done about it. Because as I mentioned in hour one, and thanks for the call, Bernard, you know, that maybe you can only intentionally walk somebody two or three times, and Buster Olney's like, yeah, but so the pitcher will just throw four bad pitches and make it look like he's trying to pitch, and it's just an intentional walk that looks unintentional. And that's the end of that. Colby in Georgia, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Colby?
What you could do.
Uh-oh. Colby, you there? Colby?
Yeah, I'm there.
You there? Hello? Sounds like there's a kid around.
Yeah, he said hello.
Yeah, what's up, Colby?
I what's up? How you doing?
Hi, what's on your mind?
What's going on?
I wanted to say, I just wanted to say, last time I called you, I'm homeschooled. I wasn't in school when I called you.
Okay.
I just want to say, though, I think that the Miami Dolphins should probably, I think that they should fire the head coach, honestly. I think it's not working out for him. I think they should just, even though they won against the Falcons, and I was at that game, and I was, and it was super fun, but I think that they should just fire the head coach.
Why? Why, Colby? Why? Why?
Because he's just not working out for them. I just feel like, he's definitely a good coach, but I just don't think that he's going to be doing good.
How old are you again?
I think that he's not a good long-term situation.
How old are you again, Colby?
I'm 14, sir.
Okay. So, doesn't matter what we just saw. They played their best game of the year. Maybe they can turn things around. You think they should just bounce him anyway? Okay.
I think we should, honestly, if this season doesn't, maybe if we can, I'm not saying make the playoffs, but I don't think that we can.
All right, well, here's the scoop, Colby, because we're at the end of our show. You need to call back Friday, okay? Call back Friday. Okay. We'll take your call then, because that's the next day after which the Dolphins play. And they've got the Ravens, and they've got Lamar Jackson. They win that one, maybe Colby in Georgia will change his tune. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
All right. Even so, home, even McDaniel's probably sitting there going, even a homeschooled 14-year-old's going to be fine. What can I do? We just had the best game of the year. What the heck?
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.